Have you ever felt so lost in life, so desperate for answers as to what is going on in your life, and so afraid of the answers you might find that you just decide not to face the realities of life, and instead just to put your head down and keep going so you don't have to actually stop and think about what is happening and what has happened? In fact, maybe you feel that way this morning. Your biggest fear in coming to an Easter service, even if online, is that you might actually have to take a moment to think about your life. Well, interestingly, that first Easter, there were some people in a similar situation. This morning, I want to take you into the story of the first people to see Jesus alive. Let me take you to Matthew 28. Just after Jesus' death and burial on Friday, which was followed by the Jewish Sabbath on Saturday. And so it says here in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 28 that after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. The other Gospels also mention Salome and Joanna, so potentially four women, maybe more, who knows. So what were these women doing? What were they expecting by going to the tomb? Well, we learn in Mark's version of the gospel in chapter 16 that as soon as the Sabbath ended, and the Jewish Sabbath went from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday, as soon as the Sabbath ended, so that is Saturday night, these women went out and bought spices in preparation to go anoint Jesus' body. Whereas we would imagine a store, you know, opening first thing in the morning, for the Jews, they would have reopened in the evening after ceasing from commerce for 24 hours. So they've been waiting around for the Sabbath to end, waiting for something to do to take their minds off their pain. And so as soon as they can, they go out and buy these spices to prepare to go anoint Jesus' body. And this was kind of a similar ritual to, say, taking flowers to a gravesite. They went to, you know, show their love and probably to grieve at the tomb of Jesus. And so imagine with me, they take their burial spices home on Saturday evening. The impression is they must have barely slept, that they're still so distraught. They're up late Saturday night buying and preparing spices. And according to John, they were up early Sunday morning. So early that according to John in chapter 20, it was still dark when they left. And it was only early dawn by the time they arrived at the tomb. And they have no expectation whatsoever of Jesus' resurrection. Otherwise, they wouldn't be bringing burial spices. In fact, they're not even sure they'll be able to get to Jesus' body at all. Mark's gospel tells us on the way to the tomb, they were asking each other, well, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? And we have lots of pictures that archaeology has uncovered of these garden tombs with the rolling stone in front of them. And it was pretty easy to roll the stone into the pre-cut groove in front of the entrance. But as you can imagine, once you get that big kind of round stone into place and sort of roll it down into that groove, it's pretty difficult then to push it up out of that groove. And certainly not something these four women could or were planning on doing. So they're not even sure how they're going to get to Jesus' body. So why are they going to the tomb with these burial spices? Well, until this week when we decided to preach on this text, I'd never really asked the question or felt the need to ask. But when you think about it, it makes no sense. They don't even really have a plan. They're bringing spices to a tomb they have no way to even get into. It's like they're all kind of too scared to talk about the reality of what they might find. I mean, no one has the answer for what they're actually going to do when they get there. So here's what I kind of think is going on here. They don't know what to do. They just know they need to do something. And they know they want to be somewhere that might help them feel close to Jesus. The thought of what has happened to their beloved Jesus, the one they thought that was the Messiah, to sit with that reality of his death is just too heavy, too overwhelming for them to face. And so they just stay busy. They go and buy spices as soon as the market opens on Saturday evening, and they spend time that evening staying busy, preparing spices. And then after barely sleeping, if they slept at all, they rise while it's still dark and they meet together and set out for the tomb before it's even dawn with no real plan, no real understanding of what this day or the next day will be like, just going to be somewhere where they think they might somehow find some answers to their despair. And what do they find? What happens? Well, verses 2 through 9 here of Matthew 28 says this. They get to the tomb and it says, there was a violent earthquake. For the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples, and suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said, and they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. My guess is a lot of us this morning are maybe like these women. I mean, we've been through a lot of darkness lately. The world is on edge. Our hope is fragile, if not crushed. We're in despair. We feel the awful dead silence of Saturday. We're not really sure what to do. We're not really sure what to expect. We might even be wondering, like the women, like, what has happened? And Lord, where are you in this? And we don't even know exactly where to go to look for answers, to find direction. And so we just keep ourselves busy. We move from one thing to the next, afraid, like the women, to ask why we're even doing what we're doing. Perhaps afraid of the answers we would find. And so we crowd every spare moment with news, sports, scrolling through our feeds on Instagram or Facebook, reading a book or watching TV up until the very second we're ready to fall asleep so that we don't have to face the reality of the condition of our lives or our hearts or souls or the questions we're unwilling to face about our life and what this all means. We don't know what to do, but we know we need something. But what is it? Where do we find it? Where can we look? Maybe you're not even sure why you're here this morning watching this live stream, how you ended up here. You just knew you needed to be somewhere that might help give you some hope. And like the women, you might be quite surprised at what you find, and that is this, that Jesus is alive. In all our looking, our striving, our keeping busy, our moving from one task to the next, like the women, our sleepless nights of despair, like these women, wondering how we can move forward in life, behind all of that, Jesus is up to something, is working even in the darkness of the tomb, behind the insurmountable stone. You may not even think he's alive. You may have given up hope. You're not even sure why you're on the way to the tomb. The stone you're facing looks impossible to roll away, but fear not, because perhaps to your surprise, the stone is gone and Jesus is alive. And how does Jesus being alive change everything? Well, I could give you 100 examples and a whole bunch of scriptures, but let's just stick with our story here this morning. Jesus being alive means, number one, we no longer have to be afraid. Verse 5. My prayer for you this morning is the Spirit of God, like the angel here in verse 5, might say to your heart, do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus. When someone has conquered the one enemy, death, that no one else has ever conquered, when we don't have to fear death, when we know who our lives and souls belong to and who will take care of them after we die, then nothing can make us truly afraid. So number one, we no longer have to be afraid. Second, Jesus being alive means we have true joy. Before coming to the tomb, these women couldn't have been any more hopeless or in despair. All they were living for, they thought, was gone. It was over. But now everything has changed. Nothing is the same. And now, verse 8, it says they are filled with joy at Jesus' resurrection, knowing he is now alive. And then lastly, Jesus being alive means we have a renewed purpose. Verse 10, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid, same word as the angel. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, for there they will see me. There's a job to do. We aren't just waiting around until we die and are fully with Jesus. He has a purpose and a plan for us, a mission for us, something to go and do. I mean, these women went from hopeless, confused, in despair, to now being the first people entrusted with the most important message the world has ever known. They now have a mission. And if you keep reading the Bible, the New Testament, you find this small group of women and men end up changing the world and changing lives. They create communities that share and take care of each other and those in need. They create communities and cities of peace and justice and fairness and equity. They give status and leadership to women in ways the world had never seen. They pay attention to the poor. They say no to greed and living for themselves and live for something greater. Because Jesus is alive, their lives and the lives of those around them begin to change. Their fear and despair was gone, their joy restored, and their purpose clear because of one event. And listen, I don't think these women had it all figured out at that point. They probably didn't even really know or understand exactly what was going on. They didn't have a developed theology or teaching of how this was all possible, what it meant. They didn't have it all sorted out. But you know, Jesus met them, quite literally, in verse 9, where they were at, on the road. Will you let him do the same with you this morning? I can't explain it all to you this morning, the whole story and what it means that Jesus is alive, but I can tell you that since that day 2,000 years ago, where these hopeless and in despair women were transformed into mighty messengers, since that day, over 2 billion people have also found this to be true, have had their fear taken away because Jesus has overcome the grave, have been filled with joy through encountering Jesus, and have had their lives filled with a greater purpose. Like those women, you don't have to have it all figured out today. Just take that first step, like the women, of going to where Jesus could possibly be. Maybe without knowing exactly what you're looking for or expecting, but just looking for something, some answer, some hope. And we'd love to come along with you on that journey. And whether this is your first time ever hearing this story, or more likely for many of you, you've heard it, you once knew it, what it meant that Jesus is alive, but lately you've been stumbling in the darkness, keeping yourself distracted from what's really going on in your soul. And today, Jesus is calling you back to him. And so no matter where you are today or why you're here, would you join me now in a moment of prayer? And you can either just pray quietly in your heart with me these words, or if you want to say them out loud, use your own words if you want, but something like this: Jesus, I'm lost. Going to and fro, place to place, not sure what to do, where to go for answers, where my place is, where you are. And so I come today looking for you, to you, not quite sure what to expect, but I'm searching. It feels as if there's a huge stone in the way, but I ask you would roll it away and come to me with your greeting and reveal to me your resurrection life and truth. Take away my fear, fill me with joy, and reveal your purpose to me. Amen.